Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you gaze long into the abyss also gazes into you. Friedrich Nietzsche. Welcome to Grimly.
At all, to be honest, and I like when she's able to be,
when she's funny.
Yeah, when she's like a bitch.
Yeah,
that's her best.
Truly,
just a little bit, like a really good.
Yeah, she
capable, plays, smart bitch.
Yeah, where mm-hmm. she's like, I know I'm smarter than you.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
that yeah. Is, she was like just like nicer than I like to see her.
I always want my Laura Dern mean.
I do kind of want my Laura Dern to be mean.
Mean to raptors, mean to men, mean to idiots.
Yes.
This is what we need. No, we need the mean nice. Laura Dern era.
Could have been better. But it featured like other comedians, which is good. I think they were funny.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Whatever. Don't run out and see it.
You know, I don't think I was, but yeah, your not so shining endorsement of Is This Thing On is a...
Yeah, Is This Thing On.
Is This Thing On. Not really selling it for me.
Is it you?
No, I think it's you.
Really? I don't know. Just a notification. It shouldn't be buzzing for...
I think it was buzzing the Allen wrench.
Buzzing.
Shut up, phone.
I know. Like, it's not on Do Not Disturb.
Oh, yeah. You definitely shouldn't be buzzing then.
I know.
Anyways.
That's where it lives. On Do Not Disturb.
On D&D.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, makes sense.
Yeah, but I'm always holding it anyway, so it does not matter.
I know. Do you remember like how difficult of a choice it was to make of your ringtone like,
oh, 20 yes. years ago? I love being free of that. Yeah, because, well, not only the sound that rings on your phone, but the ring back tone was yes, also
the like, ring. What song were you choosing in that moment,
yes.
in that era, in that week? It was a very important decision.
It's true.
Of our lives.
Yeah. And now it would be terribly embarrassing.
Yeah.
If my phone makes a sound,
I'm like,
stop exposing my deepest.
You're like overstimulated instantly. You're like, shut the fuck up. I think that's just being an adult.
You know.
Because when your phone rang when you were, you know, 18, it was exciting. You're like, who's calling me? Yeah.
I know. No one calls, though, anymore.
No one calls. You call.
I do.
You called me today for, like, that could have been a text message.
I was driving.
And when I, like, hung up the phone, I was like, why didn't you just fucking text me?
I was driving, okay? Okay. I call you a lot. I do. And my sisters, I call my sisters a lot. Yeah. They don't answer.
Okay. Maybe that's why you called me. You're like, I know this bitch will pick up. Most of the time. I did not pick up this afternoon.
That's okay.
Called me again.
Yeah, when I call you again. Because I wanted to know if I had enough time to nap.
And I will always give you.
Well, I'm glad though, because I was like, I'm always. The problem now is I've recently woken up from a nap, so I'm like a little low energy too.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. I've got tequila today.
Well, I did not take a nap, so I'm lower energy because of that.
Oh, no.
So we're doing good.
Not a great start.
Not a great start.
Episode number 99.
I know. Anyways, welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly. I'm Meg.
I'm Missy. And we're two unserious people to talk about seriously creepy shit. And
Coleman's here.
Coleman's here. He is panicking.
Yeah, he's a bit nervous.
Like he always is. Don't look at me like that. I'm just stating the obvious, bud. He's giving me a look like he's a little bit offended, like I'm airing his dirty laundry.
Yes.
Maybe that's why he smelled the ether earlier.
He's like, I knew you were going to say that.
He's like, I smelled you airing
the betrayal.
I smell you airing my dirty laundry. How fucking dare you? We were having a conversation and Coleman just like not, I wasn't having a conversation with the dog. Meg and I were having a conversation and Coleman just like turned his head and sniffed the air so intensely. Like
leaned forward,
leaned into the nothing and just sniffed it hard. I was like,
what kind of phantom scent?
Yeah, there was some phantom scent in the air. That's a good band name.
Phantom scent?
Yeah. That's like a crunchy granola.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Band. From
I think that, I don't know, I feel like a phantom must smell like cologne. I'm sorry. Yeah, like Phantom of the Opera. That guy definitely wears cologne.
I would hope so. Otherwise.
Otherwise what?
He's probably a little stinky. He like hangs out in the rafters.
Shit. God, where was I? I was, oh, okay. We're from Washington. Mm-hmm. Seattle is very kind of crunchy, I guess.
We're pretty crunchy.
Laid back. We're not known for our fashion sense.
And we're known for our North Face fashion sense and our right, Patagonia type fashion sense.
We also don't really do a lot of fragrance here.
I guess that's true. I guess I usually don't really wear fragrance.
I don't really either.
Unless I'm going out.
Right.
Like I'm going to a show or something. Not. Yeah.
Well, I only noticed it because when I was in Dallas a couple of times last month, I was like, my nostrils accosted on the airplanes, in the airport. I'm like, all of these men are wearing cologne. This is wild.
Yeah, it's a little much. Maybe that's why we don't do it.
I don't know. Like, to be fair, it wasn't totally unpleasant. I mean, the airplane was a little unpleasant, but
yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, you walk by people and they just smell nice.
You're like, oh, okay.
Yes. I don't know.
I mean, we shower in Seattle. Jesus.
I know, but it's not that people smell bad. It's just that they smell like nothing.
Yeah.
And then when someone walks by, you're like, that smells nice. That's a pleasant.
Right.
That's a scent.
So
that's
do not just like a human. Realistically, Seattle phantoms don't have a scent.
Yeah.
Like the Seattle ghosts.
Yeah, maybe not.
Also, Seattle phantoms would have been a better fucking name for our women's hockey team.
The phantoms.
Yeah. The Seattle phantoms. It's a fucking torrent. I'm never going to get over it.
I know, but that's a water thing. The torrent.
I know. It's stupid.
And we're a coastal city.
I don't care. I don't care.
Coleman looks at me like, are you really defending it? Are you really?
Coleman turns and he's like, listen, you know you're wrong.
I've already tried to have this argument with her. Just drop it.
He's like, the way I listen to this bitch talk about Seattle torrent so many times by herself.
Like, don't get her started.
He's like, please don't get her started. Okay, I'll stop. I'm just saying. It's such a stupid name.
Sorry. Have they started playing?
They have.
Oh.
And they're doing pretty game. They're the captain of their team was the captain of the USA women's hockey team.
Cool.
We should go to a game.
Yeah.
They're very popular.
Oh, nice.
They sold out a couple of times recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Should definitely continue to support the women's
and they sports. Play at the Kraken Theater, right? Or
theater?
Stadium?
The Kraken Theater.
It's like perfect example of how much I care about
yeah. sports. They play at Climate Pledge, which is where the Kraken also play. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there you go. Wherever that happens.
Whatever the sports ball.
Climate Pledge is the little new one.
Climate Pledge used to be Key Arena.
Okay, so it's not the new one.
That is the new one.
Oh.
It was.
It's like Queen Anne.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because Key Arena. I actively avoid arenas and stadiums, obviously.
Yeah, no. There was Key Arena, which was used to be Key Arena. Now it's Climate Pledge, which is where the Storm plays.
Okay, I've been there.
Yeah. You've probably been there for a concert or something.
I've been
something.
There for the Storm game, okay. Which was fun.
Yeah.
And it's small, actually.
It's not very big.
Okay, yeah. I like it there. I had a great experience at that stadium.
Yeah, it's not very big compared to Lumen Field, which is where the Seahawks play.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Seahawks, we should go. Yeah, especially if it's there. I like it.
We should definitely go. We should look it up. I'll look it up on seats.
Do you think the girls would want to go?
They might.
Probably would.
Yeah, we'll have to look up some dates. I mean, the Mariners are about to start playing again, too, so. Oh. I've got plenty of opportunities in my wheelhouse.
Nice.
To see a sporting event. And I will try to get, too good at the Mariners game. If nothing else
for the food. I like a Mariners game.
If nothing else for the food.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have hot dogs that fly from the sky during the seventh inning.
Every time?
I think so.
Never. I mean, I went to one last year, but that didn't happen.
Oh, maybe it doesn't happen every game.
I don't think so, but
it's fun.
What, like six hot dogs?
No, it's like
a lot of hot dogs?
It's a menagerie of hot dogs flying from the sky.
Like, what are the chances that you are seated somewhere near one that you could grab?
I can't give you a statistic.
I'm like, are they within
I think
reaching distance of most people?
Yeah. They're on like little parachutes.
Like drone. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How do they drop them in?
I have no idea. Maybe drones? Maybe someone's way up top throwing hot dogs over?
Oh, maybe.
Which is crazy.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that is fun.
It's fun.
It is. That's fun.
I want to see one not have the parachute open. Just hit someone in the face.
It's like a meme, I think.
Yeah. It's probably a meme. Like the unlucky bastard that gets pelted by a hot dog at a Mariners game is pretty funny.
It's true.
Like already having a bad day. Girlfriend just
broke up. You're having a bad day at the game. You're not at work.
Like, that's true. I mean, like, I don't know. Your girlfriend broke up with you or something and just get pelted by
a hot dog. If she broke up with you, you deserved it. So that's all. I'm sorry.
And you also deserve the hot dog. Sorry.
You deserve more than a hot dog to the face.
Right.
Most likely.
Yeah, you deserve whatever hot dog-related crime is coming towards you. Okay, let's get started with this goddamn episode. What are we
talking about today?
I have no Segu yet, but I think there will be a Segu. Kind of.
What?
There will be a sidebar.
A sidebar.
There's going to be a sidebar at the beginning, because we're just going to have to acknowledge it.
Okay. All right.
All right. But anyways, let's get this going. Okay, so.
Sounds exciting.
Sometimes the strangest legends don't begin in dusty old folklore books or century-old campfire stories. Sometimes they begin with a phone call. In 1997, a man identified himself as Mel Waters called into a late-night radio program, Coast to Coast AM, hosted by Art Bell, and told a story that sounded almost impossible. On a piece of rural land outside of Ellensburg, Washington, he claimed that there was a hole with no measurable bottom. A place where animals refused to go, where strange things had been thrown in for decades without ever filling it, and where the deeper you looked, the stranger the story became.
Sorry.
It's okay. This is only the first paragraph. Jesus. Okay. Today, we are talking about the nearly 30-year-old urban legend of Mel's Hole.
Mel's Hole? Did you know? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You set me up.
All right, let's talk about the hole in the room.
I was set up because you knew I have an immature sense of humor.
So we have the maturity of a turnip. You and I. Everyone in this room.
Oh no, Mel.
So let's just acknowledge it right now.
Is that really what it's called?
Yes.
I've never heard this.
I have been avoiding this. This is such a weird story, but I've been avoiding it.
Okay.
So I go by Missy on this podcast. But my full name is Melissa.
Yes.
Because we grew up together. Growing up, I went by Missy. I do not introduce myself to new people now as Missy.
Yeah.
I feel like an adult Missy. Is you're like, hi, I'm Missy. You're like,
okay, okay. Yeah. Listen, I hear you. I got my own name drama.
Yeah, right.
you do what you need to
do. Like, for me, an adult Missy is a woman that has like a Bible verse in her Instagram bio, but goes on bullies people on the internet.
You know what? That could be
adult Missy.
It could be. But you know what I think is funny about it is that, listen, I understand that as that's your name. I mean, obviously I know your name is Melissa.
Right.
Like Missy isn't the nickname I would assume, like, I don't think people immediately go there.
No, that's why everyone called me growing up, though. My family. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the adult Missy is either like an evangelical who has a Bible verse or and harasses people on the internet.
Yes.
Or like a Wednesday stripper that smokes menthols.
No. Well, okay. When you add the menthols, maybe. I don't think any of those things. What do people call you for short, though? Do they call you Mel?
They do call me Mel.
They do?
Yes.
Because that makes sense. But that would never... Mel is never going to come out of my mouth.
I often sign, like, cards and stuff as Mel.
Yeah.
Because I'm just lazy. Yeah. Who was it that asked me if I ever went by Lisa? Recently. You were there, and we were both, like, offended.
I don't remember. I do kind of... It might have been your birthday or something.
I don't
or
know.
Like the something like because I was yeah. like toasted. I don't remember.
And we were both like, Lisa? Excuse me? Like it's in there, right? I've never in my life
no
gone by Lisa. I will never. I'm not a Lisa. Okay.
No. Oh, listen. I'm gonna stop. I don't want to offend any Lisas.
No. No offense to Lisas out there. I'm not one of you.
The Simpsons Lisa is exactly how I think all Lisas are.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's
I think I it's kind of that. Iconic in this point. And Lisa Simpson's cool. Let's be real.
You're right.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of Mel holes in this episode.
And so you feel like we're talking about your hole.
No. I'm just saying right now, do we need to make some jokes about it right now?
About your hole?
Just make jokes about Mel's hole. Many have been, none come back, you know? Just do we need to get some bangers out?
I'm like, is it a prank? And Mel's like, ha ha, it's my hole.
I promise you it's not.
I've got this lore. I'm building a lore.
Anyways, my phone number is...
How else do you even in the days of Coast to Coast in Ellensburg, Washington?
Well, Mel's a man.
That's what I'm saying. Gay.
Mel's got his own whole trauma.
Because he's definitely not trying to find women on Coast to Coast. I'm just saying, if the lore is about his ass, he was looking for dudes on Coast to Coast.
It's definitely not about his ass.
Okay, well, all right, fine. Then that theory debunked, I suppose.
Holy shit. Okay.
I'm going to start thinking about theories.
We're going to try to get through this as best we can. I'm just telling you right now, like, we did do a whole sidebar. Not hole as in a hole, W-H-O-L-E. We're doing an H-O-L-E hole
yeah.
sidebar.
Yeah. There's yeah. only one type of hole in this story. Yeah. So stupid.
This is going to be one of our stupider episodes. I'm putting it out there fully right now. I'm going to need a tissue already.
I'm sorry.
It's like I'm in a pause. Okay. So let's get into this. This is the weirdest story.
Okay. Right. Sorry. All right.
Yeah. We're getting into Mel's hole.
You did not.
We are so fucking immature. It's not fair.
It's not fair because you wrote this script and you've had all this time.
Oh, dude, there's a couple of things I wrote in here. I was like, I cannot believe I wrote that.
All right, I'm ready.
Like, I'm ready. There's multiple sounds. I'm like, oh, this bitch will lose her mind.
Oh, no.
Okay. So this story starts with a radio show called Coast to Coast AM.
What?
Have you heard of this show?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I actually have.
Really? Oh, yeah. I had listened. Yeah.
Okay. So it's where its host and creator, Art Bell, would have people call in and tell their weird stories or experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Think paranormal, alien encounters, glitches in the...
I think that's where my alien...
Folklore.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, maybe for you. Yeah. Comes from. Like glitches in the Matrix. It's like kind of pre-Reddit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Pre-Reddit forums, right? This mm-hmm. is like what people did before Reddit existed. They would just call it to this radio show.
To Art Bell.
Yeah. And so the show would air overnight.
Yeah.
Usually around like 10 to 1 a.m., depending on like your time zone, right? And then it was considered one of the most popular overnight radio shows in the country.
Oh, wow.
And she still is on iHeartRadio?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not Art Bell anymore. I think he is...
Oh, there's an... Oh, okay.
I think Art Bell passed.
Probably?
Yeah. He definitely retired in, like, early 2000s.
I mean, he was old when he was doing it.
Yeah, he's probably passed on since then. I didn't look it up. But he definitely retired in the early 2000s. So
yeah.
That was, like, over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So in February 1997, Art Bell received a fax. Fax. From a man named Mel Waters, who lived in Ellensburg, Washington. And Mel claims that he has a 9-foot wide hole on his property.
Oh, on his property.
On his property. Okay. That doesn't seem to have a bottom.
Oh, interesting.
So Art reads the story and thinks, interesting premise, something a little different than the usual topics he gets. And so he has Mel call into the show on March 21st, 1997.
Okay.
Which begins the story of Mel's hole.
Okay.
I would say most of the story is from Coast to Coast AM.
Okay.
So this is the initial story that Mel tells on March 21st, 1997. So Mel and his wife, so probably not gay.
That doesn't mean not gay. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Mel. Didn't mean it.
So Mel and his wife, they bought a piece of property on the Manastash Range, which is close to Ellensburg, Washington, in 1993. And soon after, they split up. So maybe it was gay.
We stay calling men gay.
Yeah, we really do. And like, honestly, it's better if you are.
I'm just saying it's fine.
Yeah, like I would prefer
it's a spectrum.
Yeah, it is a spectrum for sure.
A little gay.
Yeah, you can be like a little gay. It's fine. So soon after they split up, Mel leases an area of the property from his now ex-wife. So it's kind of like a, we own this property together. I'm going to lease part of it from you. You're going to keep the property in your name. And so he like slaps a trailer on it. So they live in the same piece of property, but they're no longer a married couple.
I think that is beautiful.
Yeah. It's like big enough that they can be separate. Yeah. Right. It's probably just like saving some headaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mel is a bit of a hippie.
Okay.
And like a little bit of a granola-y guy.
Yep.
And he's retired and he spends his retirement years pursuing a big passion project of his, which is researching plants in that area for their medicinal properties.
Oh, okay.
This is fun. It's cool, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. An herbalist, they would call that now.
Right? Yeah. And so while like looking for a lot of these plants that grow on his property, he finds this giant hole. So the hole is like 9 feet wide. There's like a brick wall around it, and the wall goes down about 15 feet into the ground.
Oh, okay. So someone knew about this.
Yeah.
He didn't know about this when they bought this property? Mm-mm.
Yeah. So so initially when they brought the property,
I'm sorry,
Mel and his wife didn't know about the hole. But it seems to be a pretty popular urban legend around the area of Ellensburg. And people use the hole itself. This is the most...
Okay.
So people use this hole to do the most white trash thing I can think of, which is to throw trash in it.
It's a dumpster.
Yeah.
No.
So they throw TVs, mattresses, refrigerators, construction equipment, dead livestock, tires. Like the list can go on and on.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So they treat this hole kind of like a garbage dump. But the weird thing about it is that no one ever hears anything hit the bottom of the hole.
Sure. Okay. Could be a very deep hole.
And the hole just never fills up.
Okay.
So it's like they're just throwing garbage into the abyss. More or less.
I mean, somebody built a wall into it. Who built the wall?
We don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, in this area, there's a lot of, or there was a lot of mining.
Yeah, that's why I'm like...
Mine shafts, sinkholes, you know, there's there's a lot of things that it could be, right? And maybe they just built the wall around it at some point to prevent people from falling into it. Maybe. I don't know. That's like a marker. We don't really know. We don't know where the wall came from, but we know it's there. So Mel, curious about the hole, wants to see how deep it goes. So he grabs some fishing line and attaches it to a weight. And he claims that he gets about 4,500 feet.
4,500 feet?
Mm-hmm. And it still doesn't hit the bottom.
Oh, geez.
And for context, 4,500 feet is about double the height of the Burj Khalifa Tower, which is the tallest building in the world. That's 20...
Double the height of that?
Double the height of that. It's like about 2,000.
I'm like, how do you even get that much fishing?
Oh, we're going to go more into the fishing light.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mel is now very interested in getting to the bottom of the hole, pun intended. So he buys a shit ton of fishing line.
Oh, okay.
Like big 20-pound spools of line at a time. And he starts splicing these together until he says he reaches 80,000 feet.
How does he know it's not at the bottom?
Because it never like...
It keeps dropping?
It just keeps going.
Oh.
So 80,000 feet.
So it's pulling the wire.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So 80,000 feet is a little over 15 miles, to give you an idea.
Oh, my God.
That's what he sensed in the hole. It doesn't hit the bottom. So just a little more context of how deep this hole is claimed to be. So the deepest drilling into the earth is the Kola Super Deep Borehole, which is in Russia.
Okay.
And that's a little over 40,000 feet.
Oh.
And that took almost 20 years to reach that depth.
What is that for? It's a well?
I have no idea what it's for. Oh. It's something in Russia.
Okay.
I like the Kola Super Deep Borehole. It's like...
Super deep.
Super deep butthole. Borehole. Not butthole. That was a Freudian slip. I'm sorry.
There's no way to avoid it.
And the Marianas Trench is about 36,000 feet deep.
No.
Yeah. So this is supposed to be double the depth of that.
I'm speechless.
It's an abyss, right? Nothing else to call it.
Oh my God. Someone has to know this exists. This is crazy.
But we'll get to that.
Okay.
So besides the fact that this seems to be bottomless, there are some other weird things going on with the hole. People claim that if you yell into it, there's no echo. Okay. Like it like absorbs sound.
Interesting.
And animals also seem to avoid the hole. Even birds fly around it. If they're flying overhead, they like go around. They never fly above it, right? And people also say that the hole emits a tunnel of a black tube. It's not light. It's like anti-light. It like absorbs light. I don't know what else. It's almost like a smoke or a fog, and it looks
darker.
It looks like it should be like a beam of light, but it's not emitting light. It's absorbing light, so it's black. I don't know how else to describe that. It's like an anti-light beam.
Interesting. Okay.
It's just like pure blackness where it should be light.
Well, that would explain why birds are like,
No, thank you.
There's a vibe here.
They're like, I don't like this.
That's totally normal.
Trust the animals, guys. Yeah.
Just going to go around.
Mm-hmm. But one of the weirdest and most fucked up stories about this hole, I hate this story, came from one of Mel's neighbors. So he's a hunter, and he claims that one of his hunting dogs passes away. And he decides to throw the dog's body down the hole.
Okay. The way you say it, so angry.
Instead of burying your beloved pet, you throw it down a hole. Like a hunting dog is a dog that you invest time and money into, right? You're training it. It's like your buddy. Yeah. It's like your companion. Sidekick. It's like your sidekick. And he throws in the fucking hole. What an asshole. Anyways.
Well.
So... The next couple days,
throw the live dog down the hall. So,
yes,
I'm like, once the dog is dead,
do you want me to throw your body down the hole when you die?
No, I mean, once I'm dead, it doesn't really matter
for science.
So I volunteer.
Yeah, you can throw me down the hole and I'm dead. That's fine. We'll see if I come back.
Okay, but I hear you though.
So
you would never throw the dog down.
No,
the
hole. Yeah.
So I probably wouldn't either.
Yeah, just kind of weird and fucked up to do. I don't know.
All right.
So, noted. So he swears a few days later, the dog came back alive.
He's full of shit. He's lying.
And he says the dog is wearing the same collar with the same ID tag. But when he calls the dog walks away. Because the dog's like, you threw me down a fucking hole, bro. Do you think I'm coming with you now? No.
Okay.
I think that's a manifestation of guilt. Just putting it out there.
The dog was already dead.
But he maybe saw a hunting dog and it probably looked like his dog. And he was like, oh my God, that's my dog. I threw my dog down the hole. And just guilt ridden, he thinks it's his dog.
Okay, but that guilty over throwing a carcass into a hole?
Of your beloved pet?
Oh.
Would you throw Stella into a hole after she died? Or would you bury her?
Well, I would bury her.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, does it make you an immoral human to...
I would say there's probably some other things you do that I probably would not be cool with. How about that?
Fine. So now I'm not sticking up for this man any longer.
Yeah. Why are you sticking up
for him? He's lying. He's definitely a liar because the dog did not come back. Nothing comes back out of this hole.
He says that's what happened.
Whatever.
He says, I saw the dog. It was my dog. It was wearing the same collar. It had the same tag.
And it walked away?
And the dog was like, fuck you, bro.
And then it just left?
Gave him like a little middle finger and was like, I'm out of here.
It probably went back to hell where it came from. Like, Jesus.
And I'm just saying, I think it's a manifestation of guilt.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So all of this is told on Coast to Coast is in that initial call.
Okay.
And so that's kind of all what's happening March 1997 in the call. And Mel tells Art that he will try to get pictures of the hole and send it to Art. And he also plans on adding more fishing line to the line he already has to see if it reaches the bottom, right? But a few days later, on March 24th, 1997, Mel calls Coast to Coast again with an interesting update.
Okay.
So Mel states that when he tried to go back out to the hole to get a picture, there is now an army barricade.
Oh.
So Mel asks what's going on, and he is told that there's a plane crash, but Mel doesn't see any smoke or any other signs of a plane crash.
He can't get to his own property?
Mm-mm. So Mel is making a bit of a fuss about this because it is his property. He's like, this is my property. I live here. What the fuck is going on? And he's like, this barricade needs to go. That's when a man in a black suit shows up.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't I, this is like that thing that I sent you on Instagram where the guy was talking about places in the U.S. that are like in our national parks and mm-hmm. stuff that are not normal places.
Yeah. They're like portals or whatever.
Yes.
It's given a little bit of that, right?
Okay. So the men in black show up.
Yeah. So Mel claims that the guy in the black suit tells him that Mel is no longer allowed on this part of his land. And that if he continues to make a scene about this, they could make a drug lab appear on Mel's land. And that's going to make some bigger problems for Mel.
They're blackmailing him?
Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, bro, you just need to walk away.
Ugh, is that how it works?
I don't know.
Jesus.
I don't know. So Mel also claims in the second call to Coast that he's also received a phone call from a realtor representing a client that wanted to pay a large amount of money for his land.
Sell it. Just sell it.
Seriously. Fuck out of there, bro. You've got nothing to do with this hole.
You have nothing to lose, actually.
I agree. This is like the best case scenario for you. And Mel thinks all of this is happening, and I think I probably agree, is because he called Coast to Coast a few days before and told the story of the hole.
Damn.
He's like, then the army shows up. And
the army's paying attention to the Coast to Coast?
I guess. Okay, so now we're going to fast forward a few years later. That's kind of how like the initial phone calls end.
Okay.
Mel's like, Yeah, that's chapter one of a crazy fucking story. So for the next 3 years, Art doesn't hear from Mel. Mm. And the story becomes a bit of a Coast to Coast fan favorite. And people call in occasionally asking if there's any updates about Mel or the hole. And Art claims that he can't really get a hold of Mel besides a few vague emails.
Oh, okay.
He's like, that's all I'm really getting from him. I wish I had more for you guys, but I don't.
Yeah.
But then on April 24th, 2000, Art says that he has a special caller online. It's Mel. So Mel claims that the government offered him, I don't know if I believe this, $250,000 a month.
To do what?
For his land. And under the stipulation that Mel has to move out of the U.S. and not return.
Oh.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Why would he have to move out of the U.S.?
I don't know.
Okay. Mel, are you lying?
Are you a dirty liar, Mel? So Mel decides that he does not want to mess with the government. I would agree. Especially for that much amount of money.
Yeah.
I could fly everyone to wherever I go.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. Like that's a private, lot of money every month. That's a lot.
Private jet, right? Mm-hmm. So he agrees to the terms and moves to Australia, where he's been for the last 3 years.
Oh.
So he's basically calling and giving an update.
He was like, let me go as far away as I can.
He's like, I will go as far away as I can. Exactly. So Mel says that moving to Australia was harder than he thought it would be and that he misses home and his family. Go back to what I had said and been like, I would just fly everyone down.
It's true. Like, I know.
Come on down. I could just fund your life.
You're rich now, dude.
Right. You're super rich.
And what about the ex-wife? Did she get a cut of the
I don't think so. Like the ex-wife is vaguely mentioned after that. Yeah. I know.
He's really lying.
I know, right?
Okay, go on.
So he says he misses home and his family. He comes back to the States a few months earlier in December of 1999, because this is April when he's calling. So while back in the States, Mel is helping one of his nephews move between Tacoma and Olympia, Washington. So the plan is with the move is to rent a moving truck in Tacoma, move everything from Tacoma to Olympia. And then Mel is going to drive the moving truck back up to Tacoma, and he's going to take a bus down back to Olympia to meet with his nephew. Oh, that's nice.
It's a little bit of a back and forth, but that's probably like that's mm-hmm. the plan, right? However, Mel claims on the bus back down to Olympia, there's an altercation that happens. And this altercation is vague. We don't know what happens. We don't know if it involves Mel or if it just involves other people and he witnesses it.
Okay.
But the transit authority wants Mel to make a statement about the altercation.
So a statement?
A statement. It's significant enough that they want him to make a statement.
Okay.
Mel claims that he doesn't want to miss his bus. He's like, hey, I'm trying to get the hell out of here. I got to get back.
Oh, not like a public statement. They just
want
to know.
No, yeah. They want
like, why would he not need to do that?
Yeah, not a public statement. Like a...
Okay.
They like a police statement.
Yeah. They want to know his witness
statement. Okay. Witness statement. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. But so Mel's like, listen, I don't really know what I saw. I'm just trying to get like on this bus. Like I'm trying to get to my nephew. Like I'm helping him move. Like we're in a very busy day, blah, blah, blah. But the transit authority, they tell Mel that they can give him a ride down to Olympia in one of their vans. They're like, just give us a statement. We'll give you a ride.
Okay.
And he's like,
that's odd. It does seem a little odd, but okay.
He's like, okay, fine.
Everyone's so helpful.
So Mel says that once he gets into the van, he doesn't remember what happens next.
Ooh. I think Mel is fucking crazy. I'm sorry.
This story only gets fucking crazier, Meg.
Okay.
So Mel gets in the van. He doesn't remember what happens next. So the next thing Mel remembers is waking up in San Francisco on a street, and he is missing his keys, wallet, and belt buckle. The belt buckle comes into play later. He also tastes blood in his mouth and realizes he's missing his back molars.
Oh, okay.
And he has tape residue and a puncture mark like he had an IV in his arm.
Oh, my God.
And so when Mel is able to get his bearings a bit, he also realizes that it's been 12 days.
Sorry, he's on a street in
San Francisco? Yeah, he might have been robbed of his keys, wallet, and belt buckle. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, that might have not as much to do with.
Yeah.
This could be a few different things happening. Yeah,
this could be a few different things.
Okay.
Even running up on the street in San Francisco is crazy.
Yes.
Because he was in Tacoma, Washington.
And it's 12 days later?
And it's 12 days later.
God, his family must be like, the nephew must be like,
yes,
freaked.
Yeah, so he has zero memory of what happened over those 12 days.
Okay.
He's like, what the fuck? I'm missing teeth.
Like missing, I had the back missing teeth. Yeah, is missing crazy molars too. Is
crazy, right? I wonder if the hole was emitting some sort of weird radiation, and they were trying to test it. So they pulled his teeth to test the marrow.
I don't know. I don't fucking know. Okay, my question is it a tooth on both sides?
It sounds like it was a tooth on both sides.
So it wasn't like he got punched in the jaw really badly and swallowed his teeth somehow. No, I don't think that's reasonably possible.
Yeah, no, I think it's a tooth on both sides. Is what it sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't just go pulling like teeth out willy-nilly? Of adult faces. No,
that's insane.
Your bone needs the teeth there.
Yeah, as someone who was missing teeth because I have baby teeth, it's not fucking fun.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So Mel is able to contact his nephew. So he finds a payphone or something. He calls his nephew and his nephew's, thank God, right? Yeah, collects probably. Is collect calls, are they still a thing?
I don't think so because
there's no payphones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Everyone has a cell phone on them now. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe from prison?
I'm like, how would you? Yeah, maybe. Probably. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. The prison system. I'm like,
is there a payphone anywhere?
There's probably some somewhere.
I'm like, a grocery store?
Like rural towns, maybe. There's probably still payphones in like certain locations. Wild. I know. It's weird how all that stuff is like just slowly, creepily fading away. And we just have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
Until we hear like a news report. Oh yeah, the last payphone was pulled.
Yeah, and we're then like,
oh my God.
If, you know, we have some kind of bad, I don't know, satellite war or something, we have no...
We're effed.
Kind of.
Should we all get ham radios?
Maybe.
Like a trucker?
I don't think we should all get them, but you maybe should know someone with one.
Right?
You know?
Be able to contact people. Anyways. Stupid. All right, so Mel contacts his nephew in Washington.
Okay.
And his nephew is able to come down, get Mel from San Francisco.
Comes down?
Yeah, he's probably freaking out. Holy shit, thank God. Okay. I thought you were like kidnapped and dead somewhere, right? You know what?
Listen, as an adult woman with no children, I actually am very touched that like...
The nephew,
like that you could have really meaningful relationships with your...
Mm-hmm. Nephews and nieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that.
So... Mel gets back up to Washington, and this is where he finds out his bank accounts have been completely drained.
Oh. Sorry, now I'm going backwards. Why is rich ass Mel jumping on a bus in the first place?
Great question.
Okay.
Maybe just because that's just like what he would do as like a hippie. That's so we actually will get into like the money thing.
All right.
In soon.
I'm gonna try to be nice.
Listen. Skeptical. You don't have to be nice.
Carry on.
We don't know what's going on with Mel's hole. We're not.
I don't think it exists. I think it's in his mind.
The hole's in your brain, sir. Yeah,
and it got there because of the years of acid
he's right? probably Maybe. Been doing. Yeah, I hope he had fun. So, yeah. So he finds his bank account completely drained. And his ex-wife is suing him because there had been alterations done to the Ellensburg property that were not part of the divorce agreement. So, like, a septic tank had been installed. There was, like, a road put in. She's like, what the fuck is all this shit? It seems like maybe she wasn't actually living there at this point. And, like, maybe she was, like, just the landowner.
That makes sense.
And she comes back and she's like, what the fuck? It is interesting that all this happened after he comes back from Australia.
That's true. Okay, so a couple things could be happening. If he was living, but he wasn't living where she was living, there's a good reason he would need a septic tank.
Totally, yeah.
If there is maybe a government entity that is doing business out there now, or, you know, and they, if they need people out there, they probably need
a road and a septic tank.
Uh-huh. So the infrastructure to have.
Yeah. They're putting some stuff out there. Yeah.
Okay. You know, either things could be true.
Very much so. Yeah.
But I believe her when she says there's a road and a septic that wasn't there before.
Okay. So that is kind of the update we get from Mel on Coast to Coast in 2000.
Okay.
Mel's like, this happened. I'm getting sued by my ex-wife. My money's gone. And he didn't really seem to care that much about the money because he was a hippie.
Okay.
And so initially, Mel calls again on January 29th, 2002.
Okay.
So he leaves for 2 years.
Interesting. It's really very random.
Everyone just like on the edge of their seats, like just wondering when this guy's going to call back.
Because if he's like lying and he's doing it for like attention, the restraint
I know
being shown it's of even, only calling every now and then
yeah so every wild. Couple of years is weird.
I know.
And like he never tries to sell a book or like a t-shirt that says I went to Mel's hole and all I got was this t-shirt. it's right there.
Oh, carry on.
My Mel's hole t-shirt would be
go on.
I went to Mel's hole and all I got was this t-shirt and gonorrhea.
Oh, Jesus.
That's fucking funny. I don't have gonorrhea. Just be clear. It cleared up.
Okay. Noted.
I'm sorry. I'm losing my goddamn mind. I'm on like little sleep.
Is that the clap gonorrhea?
I think it's chlamydia.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Never mind.
I think they're both curable.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
So
I feel like herpes is damn, it's not curable, but that's even one that like you can live a mostly like normal most life.
People will have it now.
Well, I don't know if most people have genital herpes, but you can take drugs.
We usually have like cold sores.
Yeah, that's slightly different.
It's the most common form.
You can take drugs and I think live a pretty normal life.
Just wrap it up, kids. Wrap it up.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
If not for the STIs for the babies.
That's true.
That you don't want. Let's be real.
Lots of reasons.
Yeah, lots of reasons. Just wrap her up. Anyways, okay. So, where was I? Okay, so Mel says that he's all right. That this
call, 2 years later.
2 years later, yeah. In 2002. And he says he never really cared about the money, but he was glad that he was able to have a good portion of it in Australia because he was funding and working on plant research.
Oh, okay.
Also, he was funding wombat rescues.
That's nice.
That's very nice.
Wombats are like adorable.
Yes, they're so cute. They have square poops. It's so weird.
Oh, that is weird. I don't think I knew that.
Oh, yeah. They have cubed poops.
What on earth? Australia's a weird fucking place.
Australia's a hole. Its own fucking abysmal weird hole.
That's what's on the other side of the hole is Australia. Australia.
Where animals have square poop.
It's like something out of Minecraft.
I know. It is. Jeez. Most everything in Minecraft is like fucking square.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Yeah. So on this January 29th, 2002 call, We get some updates from Mel. In the updates, get stranger.
Okay.
Maybe this is a good place to take a little break.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right.
There are places in America where the road goes quiet, where legends still breathe, and where the line between truth and folklore blurs. From haunted highways and cryptid sightings to stories that have echoed through generations, State of the Unknown takes you deep into the shadows of America's strangest corners. Hosted by Rob, this documentary-style podcast blends immersive storytelling with real research to uncover the tales that refuse to fade. If you like your mysteries murky and your folklore just a little too real, you might already be living in the State of the Unknown. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
So January 29th, 2002, this is when Mel calls again. This is the third call he's made. And he gives us the updates about, like, he says he's fine.
I'm going to need to hear these calls because is he slurring?
I can't find them.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. All right. So I don't. They probably do exist somewhere, like, deep in, yeah, like, a recording back rooms or something.
Yeah.
But I don't think the real ones are online. I think there's been, like, stuff made.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he says he's good.
Yeah. So he says he's good on January 29th, 2002. And he has more updates to give us.
Okay.
About this whole story, about the hole. So remember how I mentioned that the Mel's belt buckle was taken off of him in San Francisco? Well, that's always been of a weird thing to Mel, because it didn't really have any value, but he had actually made that belt buckle himself. So Mel claims that while on the property in Ellensburg, by the hole, he finds a red envelope with 10 dimes in it. And Mel decides that he uses the dimes to add to belt buckles and sell them at a consignment shop, because he kind of, like, does artsy stuff. Yeah, he's a hippie type.
Yeah.
And he keeps one belt buckle for himself. And that was the belt buckle that was stolen.
Oh, interesting.
However, while back in Ellensburg, Mel notices a man wearing one of the belt buckles he'd made.
Uh-huh.
And he points it out. He's like, oh my God, I made that. It's like, how cool is this? And they're kind of chit-chatting. And the guy who's wearing it, he points out something weird about the dime itself.
Oh, okay.
So the mint date on the dime is 1943. And it's the Roosevelt profile on it, which is the classic dime that we all know.
Okay.
Right? However, the Roosevelt dime wasn't minted until 1946.
Yeah.
Because we do not mint money after living presidents. We only mint money after dead presidents. And Roosevelt died in 1945. And so as, like, a remembrance, whatever you want to call it, they minted a dime after Roosevelt in 1946. But the dimes that Mel found in the red envelope says 1943.
And the guy was like, isn't this funny?
Yes.
How would that guy have noticed that? Listen. Interesting.
Coin collectors are a weird type.
Yeah, sure. That's true.
And I mean,
that's true.
Like, maybe.
I wouldn't have noticed that.
Yeah. I mean, this is, we don't know on the timeline, but this is, like, within 2000, 2002 when this happens. He's like, oh, by the way, like, I looked it up.
That's so.
And maybe he, like, saw it in, like, a newspaper or something, like, talking about, like, the history of the dime. And
totally.
It was minted in 1945. I was like, wait a minute. It says on the belt buckle 1943. Uh-huh. You have no idea, right?
It's just, like, maybe I was, like, looking at a dime.
Yeah. Like, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea why he would think that. But, like, he looked it up. And so, the dime that we know is not minted until 1946. And I did a separate Google search of that and confirmed that. So, eventually, this guy, he says that he went to a coin collector in Ellensburg and he asked him about it, like the dime belt buckle thing. And the coin collector's like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm looking at. He's like, but that's not like a
dime,
a minted treasury dime.
Hmm.
There was also something about, there was like a B on it that isn't like a minted letter that we usually use, like some sort of weird symbol. He's like, that's also not something that is on a dime or any of the kind of currency in the United States.
Strange.
He's like, I truly don't know what this is. So eventually the Treasury Department shows up at this man's door, not Mel's door, the guy who has the belt buckle. They show up at his door and tell him they need to confiscate the belt buckle with the dime on it. And he never sees it again.
No way.
Yeah.
They can just come and take your shit?
I guess if it's, maybe they thought it was counterfeit.
Well, it's in a belt buckle now. What's he going to do?
It's a fucking dime.
It's a dime. I'm like, is it like parallel universes or maybe? Like different timelines?
Maybe. I don't know.
But it's like the conspiracy of it all. Is it like suddenly the Department of Treasury is involved? I'm like, how does word get all the way back? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Sus.
Very sus. It's very, very weird.
It's also probably not true.
So Mel then goes in the state.
It is an elaborate story.
This is a very elaborate.
Specific.
And it gets weirder.
Okay.
So Mel then goes on to say that he also finds out that he has advanced terminal esophageal cancer.
Okay.
And I probably said that
esophageal,
wrong.
Right?
Esophageal.
Yeah.
Esophageal. Yeah. Thank you. Whatever. And he is given 6 months to live. So he's saying this in this 2002 call.
Oh.
Which is a huge bummer. But he also says that he gets an email from an indigenous tribe down in northern Nevada near Reno. And they invite Mel to come down and help with their plant research.
Oh, because they heard him on the show probably.
Yeah. And he probably has a little bit of like a following,
maybe,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Mel says, fuck it. Like, I like to do research plants. I haven't got nothing else going on.
Yep. More months.
Right? Yeah. So he says he goes down there in September 2001.
Okay.
And remember, this call is happening in January 2002. So a couple months prior. And this is when things get weirder.
Okay.
So we have another hole.
Okay.
So while hanging out with this tribal research team, Mel is also told of another bottomless hole close by.
Oh.
So this hole is on public land and is occupied by a group of Basques. Do you know what Basques are or who the Basques are?
No.
So the Basques are a small subset of people who originated between France and Spain.
Oh, yes. I didn't think
there's like the Basque region of France.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. They originate from there.
Okay.
And they, it's like almost, they're like a gypsy type of group.
Okay, sure.
I don't know if gypsies.
It's not an appropriate word anymore, but sometimes it's the only way to describe.
Like bohemian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably the best way to explain it. So this smaller group of the original Basque people, they relocate to the U.S.
Okay.
Primarily in Boise and then near Reno.
Oh.
So they have these two little pockets. And
I really want to go to Reno. You know, I want to go to Reno. Yeah, so right. Bad.
And so they relocate here in the 1800s and are mostly sheep farmers and herders.
Okay.
Like that's what they do.
Sure.
Like we work with sheep. We do the sheep things. We have sheep.
We are sheep.
We are sheep. We have sheep. These are the sheep. So the Basque group considers the whole a bit of a spiritual place. Because usually the elders of these like smaller groups of people are smarter than us.
Yeah, but the only thing that's so interesting about that to me is that like you would think normally there would be generations of lore about the thing because they're indigenous to the area.
Yeah.
These are people who had traveled in, but apparently they're like, we know enough to respect the land, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's kind of like intertwined with the indigenous groups there.
Okay.
As well.
So maybe they learned about it or something.
Yeah. So I think like the indigenous groups, they were like, hey, like there is a hole there and this is like a weird thing, but we don't really mess with it.
We don't just, mess
like,
with
kind
it.
Of leave it alone because we don't really know what's going on with it, but it's on the Basque people's land.
Okay.
And that's when he starts talking with the Basque people. And that's when they're like, yeah, you know, like this is a spiritual place. It's been there as long as they have. Like, they don't really know much about it. Mm. But what they don't do is throw fucking garbage in it.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, we are just so white trash. The general population of the United States. I'm so sorry, but we are. I'm putting myself in there.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I call it the Basque hole.
Okay.
Yeah. They have... This one has a metal collar around it. And... Like Mel's hole, it seems to deafen out sound the same way. Like you can't like yell into it, it has an echo. Mm. But this metal collar like kind of goes all, you can't see how far it goes. It just keeps going forever. And there's evidently like notches on it that looks like there could have been a lid at some point.
Oh, okay.
On it as well. But it also, it doesn't like have any sound that comes from it. It seems to deafen out sound. It also seems to radiate heat.
Oh.
On like the metal ring itself.
Oh.
Like you can touch it and it's warm.
Mm.
And animals also avoid this hole, similar to Mel's hole. And it does on occasion have a black beam.
Like an absence of
light. Yeah, like the absence of light thing that comes from it as well. So they're like, we don't know what this fucking thing is, but we just kind of like don't.
Yeah.
We consider it sacred. We don't really deal with it, right? This group of Basques have more or less left the hole alone, like I said. But when Mel is there and asking about it, the group, they also kind of like, yeah, we are curious about it, right? It just seems like the right person asks the right question at the right time. They're like, you know what? Let's
talk about it.
Talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when Mel and a few of the Basques decide to conduct an experiment using store-bought ice. Very simple. Because this thing emits heat. That's what they're kind of going with. So they use a bucket and they lower some ice into the hole while keeping another bucket of ice on top as like a control. And they want to see how quickly the ice melts in the hole itself. Mm-hmm. So they lower the bucket about 1,500 feet. And when the surface ice is about half melted, they pull the bucket back up. And the ice isn't only not melted, it's warm to the touch.
It's still ice, but it's warm?
It's still ice, but it's warm.
What?
Yeah. And they say that they hold it in their hands and it doesn't melt either. It's just like warm.
Oh, weird.
Ice.
Oh.
It's weird, right? I haven't had a... Like, what is that?
What? I don't, you can't, it's like dry ice,
maybe? I guess? Yeah, but like dry ice, if you touch it, like it hurts your skin.
It
hurts,
it does, yeah.
Yeah. So the group decides to put this ice over a stove to see if it melts, and instead of melting, it emits a blue flame.
No.
Yeah. It's like creating its own
heat. Now it's
heat.
On fire?
It's like a very, they say it's like a very, very small blue flame coming from it. It's almost like a pilot light.
Yeah.
And like a stove, but like it's
like propane, what are those? Butane.
Oh, yeah the isopro like mm-hmm. stoves yeah, yeah like a very tiny like blue flame coming from it, but it's creating a flame.
Strange.
Very strange. So seeing this as a source of heat, what did the Basque people take the ice and put it in his stove in his cabin? He's like, fuck it, this is like basically a free heat source.
Okay,
it's not melting, it's emitting heat. Okay. Why not, right?
Okay, what happened?
So this guy then claims that the air in his cabin is always super dry. Mm. Like the ice itself is like snatching all the moisture out of the air itself. He says like his skin gets really dry.
Yeah.
He's always thirsty. Like he always just feels like there's just not enough moisture in the room itself. So then he even has a kettle on the stove to try to get some moisture in the air. Like always like kind of like, you know.
Like a humidifier.
Yeah, like a humidifier. But the steam coming off the kettle goes like back down into the stove. It's like the ice itself. It's like sucking on the moisture out.
Oh my God.
It's like a weird sponge.
Weird.
Right? So then one day.
Physics is crazy.
I know. Science, man. So one day the stove breaks through the floor. It like breaks out the floor that it's on, like the wood floor, because it like dried it out so much. And so the guy, he's like, whatever. He's like patches the hole in the roof now because
at no point is he like, let me get scoop this ice out
and get the fuck out of here and get out of here.
Yeah, get it out of here, throw it back in the hole.
No. So he like basically he patches the hole in the roof where the chimney is because the stove's dropped. There's like now a hole.
Oh my God.
And he's like, whatever. He's like, it's free heat. And then a few weeks after that, his cabin completely disintegrates.
No.
Because
he asked for it.
Yeah. Because all the wood in his cabin is dried out basically. It just like falls apart.
It's like dust.
Yeah, it becomes like sawdust, essentially. So the guy then goes and moves in with his brother, because like now he's cabinless. And he comes back to the cabin site a month later and sees the stove about 5 feet in the ground.
Oh my God, it's making a new hole?
Almost like it's making a new baby hole.
Oh my God.
It's like sucking everything and like just digging
what
itself.
What is this?
I don't know.
Some like antimatter fucking.
Like, yeah, like dark matter shit. I don't know. And evidently some people came out, took the stove, and they don't know where the stove went. And like the holes was just still there. And it just, that's
kind of the story. It's not gotten any deeper.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten any deeper, but like the stove is gone and they don't know where it went.
What the hell?
It's weird, and it gets weirder.
Interesting. It's keep getting weirder?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So after all the ice stuff, one of the Basque guys offers to be lowered down into the hole.
Why? I can't.
He's like, you know what? Put me down there.
For what, sir? For what? We know it's too deep. What are you going to do down there?
I don't know. He's wanting to see it, I guess.
Listen, we can't. Of course.
Okay. Everyone's like, not a great idea. Not a great idea. Instead, let's put a poor, helpless sheep down there.
I was going to say, they probably put an animal down there.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Okay.
Who didn't offer to go in the hole. Mm-hmm. That sheep's like, I don't want to fucking go. Let him go. He offered. Let that motherfucker go.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. But Okay.
You gotta treat animals better.
They were gonna kill that sheep anyway, if it makes you feel better.
Sure. So it's, I'm not gonna get like into the graphics of it. It's not good. The sheep doesn't wanna go in the hole.
Oh.
But they put a sheep in a crate down the hole and they bring it back up. Sheep is dead.
The sheep is dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how long was it in the hole?
30 minutes.
Deep?
They put down like 1,500 feet.
I would think it would take 30 minutes just to get it down 1,500 feet.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, so like the sheep was in the crate and you could see like the line moving because the sheep was like freaking out.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they bring the sheep up, sheep's dead. So they do an autopsy on the sheep. Or sheeptopsy, I don't know. And they find that it almost seemed like the sheep had been cooked from the inside out, which sounds like a horrific way.
Like, what type of chemistry is happening in this?
I don't know. Like it absorbs water, so it's like a microwave almost.
Strange.
Okay. So they find out the sheep looks like it's been cooked from the inside out, which is fucked up. That poor sheep. All I can think of.
Okay.
And they also find a weird tumor-like thing inside the sheep. And it's moving.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the tumor is cut open.
Oh.
And inside's a small creature.
No way. Stop. Shut the fuck up.
I told you this is one of the weirdest stories we've
ever done. We have gone off the rails. We've
truly gone off the rails.
Hold on.
Meg needs another drink.
Is it good? Minutes. This is absurd.
I told you.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
So Meg refilled. She needed a refill after that.
It's like we were at the, now there's a creature and a tumor inside a sheep that's moving.
The sheep's not moving. The sheep is dead.
No, sorry.
There was a thing inside the sheep that was moving. It was like, looks like a tumor. They cut it open. There was a creature inside of it.
Is it a baby sheep?
No.
It's not a sheep-ish thing?
No.
How did it get in there? Someone needs to make a movie about this. I would watch.
I want a Coast to Coast anthology series.
Yeah.
You know there's other fucking stories like this from... Hey, I know. He's got sticky breath.
Hey, you know what? It's not your fault. It's just dog stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Coleman. Buddy.
Stop. Are you satisfied?
He's like, do you want the keys?
There you go. He definitely landed the tongue on the lips.
As you do. What?
It's like, listen, everything needs to settle down.
I know. You guys need to stop fucking yelling. You psychos. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm already grossed out. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. So, I don't like this.
Maybe if you're eating, don't listen to this part.
It's like the one trigger warning.
Okay. So the tumor is cut open.
Oh, all right. I don't like it.
And inside's a small creature that Mel describes as almost like a baby seal.
What?
Okay. But it has human-like eyes.
Oh.
And it looks at everyone in the room with deep compassion and reverence.
It looks at everyone in the room with deep compassion and reverence?
Yes.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's like a baby seal Jesus.
Or it's, you know, like a more sentient being.
Yeah, I know. It's called a Jesus. I don't know. Honestly, I'm like, if this is a true story, I don't understand how a fucking religion isn't made from it.
Fair.
Look at the Bible. There's crazier fucking stories in there. Let's be real.
Right? This is crazier than the Bible, you mean?
No, I'm saying the Bible has some pretty crazy stories.
Oh, for sure.
As well.
For sure. Also lies.
Damn. Mel's later says, or not later, he says in this call that he feels like it's almost like he's witnessing a miracle. He's like, this is like something transcendental. This is like a
I just have to say acid is involved.
Is he having a trip?
Yeah.
Like there was some acid lodged in his brain somewhere from the 70s and it's all coming back to him right now, maybe.
Okay. All right.
So Mel picks this creature up.
Ew.
and puts it on the ground.
On the ground?
Yeah.
Okay.
And everyone says that kind of the room smells like ozone now.
The ozone makes a reappearance.
Ozone is a creepy smell.
Ozone is involved where interdimensional
weird shit happens. Mm-hmm. Ozone's like a weird creepy smell for sure.
Interesting.
So everyone in this like cabin room just sits there and stares at this thing for like 2 hours. Everyone's just like, just perplexed and shocked and just like staring.
They're what like, is it like doing?
It seems like the creature is intelligent and is like sitting there and like, studying all of them.
Holy shit.
And it's like deeply studying them and it has a lot of compassion.
I wonder if it's like telepathic too.
Maybe. It has like a lot of like compassion in its eyes and it's just like sitting there and like looking at all of them with like deep compassion.
Weird.
Yeah. Mel says it's the most compassionate being he's ever seen in his life.
Okay.
I mean, for the thing to come out of a tumor of a sheep, this is probably the best case scenario, right? This isn't like an alien. We're making
a good case for cancer here.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, Dark.
We can joke about that.
We can.
We both have parents that have died from cancer.
So, we didn't know what we should have been doing with those two,
right? I don't know. Yeah. Mel says that he feels compelled at this point to pick up this magical seal fetus.
Disgusting. I didn't know we would go here. Like, I could not have predicted that this is where we would end.
That's the thing I typed. I was like, I like lost my shit. I'm like, you are an idiot. Talking to myself and my dog. I'm like, Jesus. You are the dumbest of bitches.
No.
So he picks this thing up.
Ugh, okay. I hope he's got gloves on. I'm sorry.
No, he doesn't.
Because he's like,
he's got cancer.
This is my God now.
He's like, this is my God. Honestly, it makes more sense. You're like, fuck it, this is it.
At least this has compassion in its eyes. Yeah.
Compassion and reverence. I feel loved by it.
So sweet.
So he picks this thing up and he brings it to the hole.
And sorry, just to backtrack, mm-hmm. I think seals have the most adorable little puppy dog eyes.
It's so. Like one of the cuter things to come out of anything.
It's Let's true.
Be real. But if I have a magical god, it should be a seal.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was a woman. That's okay.
If it's not a person. Okay.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. God is Alanis Morissette. Have you watched Dogma?
Yes, actually. I forgot about that. That is, okay.
That's a deep cut. Go watch Dogma. It's now back on streaming platforms. Yeah, Kevin James got the rights back. Not Kevin James, Kevin Smith. Got the rights back. And now you can go watch it. So, yeah.
Okay, so he picks it up again. So,
yes, he picks it up and he takes it to the edge of the hole.
Okay.
And this thing like kind of crawls back to the hole. He says it looks back, nods, and
does the finger guns.
The finger guns. I just did that.
Sorry. Okay.
That was like me subconsciously doing that. If obviously you're not in the room, I just did finger guns while I said it nodded. Yeah, it nodded and did finger guns. Like, <"Ey." laughs>
Okay.
And it jumps back in the hole. He's like, I'm out of here.
I can't. Oh my God. Is there water at the bottom of the hole?
We don't know what's at the bottom of the hole.
That could explain what is it?
What if the hole goes to the bottom of the Marianas Trench and it's like another water world. Interdimensional water world.
Listen, there is some like extraterrestrial lore about the oceans.
Yeah, we've definitely not explored the oceans enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Like very small fraction of the oceans.
Yeah, they say we've explored less ocean than we have our galaxy.
Yeah. So maybe the hole goes there.
And then that's
why it's a seal.
It would explain why it's a seal, I suppose. It would also explain like why it can just keep like the weight keeps dropping and it doesn't go anywhere, but it might be underwater maybe it's at like, a certain point.
Like the upside down, it like goes up.
I mean, possibly.
In the ocean eventually.
Yeah, it just could be in like some type of liquid.
Yeah, everything's connected.
That it will never stop.
Yeah.
Imagining it like doing like a U and like it's going back up through the ocean.
Potentially. I also imagine so deep into the earth. Like there's definitely different types of like chemistry down there.
Yeah.
Physics are different. Mm-hmm. Pressure and all that. So like then I feel like it just literally changes time and space and all of that. Like
it just warps everything.
Reality.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
There are no rules.
There are no rules in deep water.
I made a Slack comment at work the other day to somebody who was kind of going through something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's fine. There are no rules. And they screenshotted and turned it into an emoji.
So now. Now you're an emoji? Good for you.
I'm an emoji. Anytime somebody does something stupid, it'd be like, there are no
rules. There are no rules.
Like, great.
My favorite is it's not that serious. Because it's none of it is, right?
Certainly not this.
Nope.
If little seal
fetus
gods exist,
yeah,
then nothing matters. Okay,
your fucking email about your fucking exactly. status report for whatever spreadsheet you're doing, it doesn't fucking matter. Mm-mm. If a magical seal fetus god is out there
that loves us
with huge unimaginable compassion,
God, I want to give it a kiss.
It's a little smooch. So the group then decides to also put the sheep carcass down the hole.
Okay.
Now they're throwing garbage in it. I guess it's not garbage, but
no, it's a vessel.
No.
It's like the Virgin Mary.
Right? I know. You can have it back, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, and they go to sleep that night very physically and mentally drained.
Sure.
Because yeah. they literally just witnessed maybe a miracle.
Or, yeah.
Or a really bad acid trip. Or a good acid
they
trip.
They just witnessed something you can't explain.
Yeah. They just witnessed minimum. Something that's like blowing everyone's minds right
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah. Paradigm shifting.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We are mm-hmm. not the same afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next day, Mel talks to the Basque elder and tells him of the experience they had the previous evening.
Okay. That's like from back home?
No, he's still in Nevada. Oh, this is all happening at the Basque Nevada hole.
Okay, so
this doesn't happen at Mel's hole. If you do look at some sources, this says it happens at Mel's hole. It doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So he's telling the elder of the experience the previous day. He's like, oh, I've always known that place is very spiritual, very magical. Like, we don't know what it is. And he's like, but I believe you.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Oh.
And the elder hands him an envelope he claims to have found near the hole. And he says that he feels like it was meant for Mel. So Mel puts it in his pocket and doesn't look at it till later. Because he's like in the middle of a conversation, right? He's like, here, this is for you. He's like, okay, he like puts it in his pocket. Okay. And he looks at it later. And the item is a small red envelope with a 1943 Roosevelt dime.
Oh.
Like full circle?
That's so weird.
It's so weird. But this elder was like, I think this is for you. And like, it's the same type of dime that was like on the belt buckles that got confiscated.
And he found it there?
At the Nevada hole.
What the fuck? What does a dime have to do with
it? I don't know. It's like interdimensional, like a different timeline.
I know, but what are they getting chucked out of the hole for?
Like, did Roosevelt die in an earlier date on this other timeline? And that's why there's like a Roosevelt dime from 1943?
The dime is now thrown. You almost had me. The dime. Bizarre.
The dime is bizarre, but
the dime keeps coming up.
It's weird.
I don't understand
why. It's a weird anomaly.
Sure.
Yeah. So Mel says that he tries to take pictures of the dime and of this Nevada hole, but it doesn't show up in pictures if you look at it from far away. Like, you have to get close. But if you like look at it from far away, almost like it disappears.
Oh.
And
in the photo or like when
photo,
you're trying to take photos?
In the photo. Okay. And when you're trying to take a photo. He says you can't actually.
You can't capture it.
You can't capture it.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
I tried to take a picture of the moon.
That's true. With the 2026 iPhone.
It's not. Doesn't really happening. Work.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's like you can only see it if you're like looking at it close up. It's like a weird magic eye.
Sure.
Thing.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So after this experience, Mel goes home, back to Ellensburg, and he goes back to the doctor because, remember, he's got terminal cancer. He says he's feeling great at this time, but at this checkup, Mel's cancer is gone.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And this
That little fucking smurf baby was healing?
the magical seal fetus saved him.
Was healing them?
Maybe because he picked it up, because he touched it.
Maybe because he touched it, or maybe it's just like its vibe, its general vibe.
Like it looked, he was like, I got you, girl.
Yeah.
I got you.
Talk about a real miracle.
Uh-huh.
Jesus ain't got nothing.
Jesus ain't got nothing on his fins. We're fully going to hell after this episode.
They will string us up.
I am the magical seal jumping down to hell with my finger guns. Like, hey, I'll see you later.
Oh my god. Oh my god, amazing.
It is amazing. So after this, Mel never calls back to Coast to Coast. This all happens in a fucking call from to Coast to Coast.
I don't want it to be lies. I think it's a good chance it's all a lie.
I feel like
I don't want it to be a lie.
And so there have been sleuths that have looked this up after, and they try to find Mel Waters. No one finds a Mel Waters.
Oh.
And they like look at the Kittitas County records.
Yeah.
They like try to find him, and he's not like there.
It doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Interesting.
And for some people, that means that it's just all a lie. This guy just made everything up. It's like not his real name.
Yeah.
But for some people, I'm like,
that is credence?
Is it a cover up? Because remember, the government was involved in some shape or form. Did they wipe Mel from the books because of what he witnessed?
Maybe. And because he called. Was that a part of his, you need to leave and we'll pay you all this money?
Maybe, yeah.
Assume a new identity. That would explain, I suppose, why they wanted him to leave.
Yeah, and there are some that speculate that maybe Mel Waters wasn't his actual name.
Yeah.
And like he used a pseudonym.
He didn't want to use his real name.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense too.
Yeah, totally. And then there is a quote unquote sighting of Mel in 2008 in Seattle. This guy, he like writes for like DC and Marvel Comics. He says that he runs into a guy, like an older guy in Seattle, and somehow they start strike up a conversation.
Seattle was still cool in 2008. Different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he says that the guy figures out that this is the Mel Waters from Coast to Coast, and he talks to him about it, and he's always like, yeah, he's like kind of say like under the radar after everything that happened. He's like, I'm just trying to like keep it low and you know, just try to live out the rest of my days and not causing more trouble, right? And the guy says that it sounded like Mel from like
the voice
phone calls. Yeah. I think this was him, but it's never been confirmed.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's probably like the last known sighting of Mel Waters. There's also the question of the hole itself.
Yeah. Does that exist?
So no one's been able to find it if it does exist.
And even like on Google Maps, people have searched extensively.
Yeah, there was a time.
You can't trust Google Maps.
When there was like a, there was, it's not Google Maps, it's like pre-Google Maps. I think it's called like TerraVision or something.
Oh, okay.
And
before they would have started censoring.
Yeah. And, but if you looked at this area, it was blocked off. Like it was like a square that was missing of the map itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe they were.
And then later, now if you look at Google Maps, you can see the range, the Mantosh range. And so people like trying to zoom in and try to find it. Because Mel says he never wants to give away the location.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want people getting in trouble with the government.
Getting hurt, right?
Yeah. I don't want people going out there and, you know, trying to find it. Or
you don't need to start whatever interdimensional war.
Yeah. Leave the magical seal fetus alone.
Yeah.
Because there's other sidebar that like some people say that like they've also seen the seal.
What? What is this? What?
I don't know.
In Nevada? No, you don't.
Bitch, shut up.
You don't.
But there have been people that try to find the hole.
Sure.
And if you like,
it's a struggle.
If you
sometimes.
Yeah.
I got one.
You got one in there. You know, we did pretty well.
Thank you.
I will say for the duration of this episode to contain. The whole talk.
It was stupid enough. Like, there was no.
It's right there.
Okay. All right.
Go. Joe Rogan claims to have found the hole.
No.
Which is even funnier because Joe Rogan definitely can't find shit.
Yeah. He's, yeah.
Not a clitoris, not a hole. None of it.
Remorse. I guess he's empathy, finding that. He's finding a little bit of remorse these days.
Yeah, probably because of repercussions, not because he should. Anyways, but there's people online that say that they found the hole. They like say that they put like a drone down it.
Oh,
it's not it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, people add to the YouTube algorithm, right? Totally. If you put Mel's hole into the algorithm, good luck.
Do it at your own risk, right? Probably not from your work computer.
Yes, don't do it from your work computer. But yeah, so no one's been able to find the hole.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like I didn't even make that joke. All right, we got our closing paragraph.
Close it out.
Yeah, let's close it out. So in the end, the strangest part of Mel's hole might not be the hole itself.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
You didn't need to do okay. Got it. Okay.
Do you want me to reread that?
No, I don't. Okay. Keep going. Because you didn't have to keep calling it Mel's hole.
What it is, dude. That's what the story's called.
Okay, go on.
Okay.
This is why Mel lied about his name.
Probably. And now I'm cursed with this. Okay. So the man you... Sorry. I have to read it again because okay. I cut myself off in a weird spot. Everyone compose yourselves, god damn it.
All right.
This is a serious I'm good. It's not. Okay. In the end, the strangest part of Mel's hole might not be the hole itself, but the man who claimed to find it. Mm. That's why I couldn't... Yeah. According to the story, Mel Waters said he never returned to either site after everything that happened there. Oh. The lamb is supposedly taken, the hole left behind, and Mel himself faded from view. And that leaves one final mystery. We don't even know who Mel Waters is, or even if he was a real person at all. There are no records confirming his identity, just a voice calling into Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell late one night. Despite years of curiosity and searching, no one has ever definitively located the hole itself. For a time, some listeners even pointed out that the area near Ellensburg, Washington, where the property is rumored to be appeared, oddly was obscured or blocked on certain digital maps, adding only fuel to the mystery. Maybe the entire story was an elaborate hoax. Maybe it was nothing more than a modern urban legend born over late-night radio waves.
Mm.
But legends have a way of taking on their own lives and growing and spreading long after the original storyteller disappears. And somewhere in the back of people's minds, the question still lingers. What if the hole was real? And if it was, just how deep does it really go? And that is the fucking story of Mel's hole.
Honestly, Mel's hole might be one of my favorites. I didn't foresee this tiny aquatic god. I just did not.
Honestly, a tiny seal god makes way more fucking sense to me than like the current situation we're dealing with.
My goodness.
That's, you know what? That's my Missy. This was my adult Missy. I have the tiny seal god.
Yeah. There you go. Found it.
Yeah, I found that my version of the adult Missy. Teach the gospel of the magic seal fetus.
I know you're gonna have to come up with a better name. That's not very...
The magical seal fetus?
Yes.
Is that really gonna capture the hearts?
I think you need something short and sweet like God, you know? Jesus.
And then God and Jesus already exist.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Name it.
The gospel.
What was that movie? Did you ever see that movie about it was also a 90s movie, the girl who was friends with the seal?
Oh, I remember. What was that movie called? Look
that up, because I loved
that movie.
Me too.
That was a true story. I think part of it was true. I don't think all of it was true.
Let me look it up.
Is it Flipper? No, that's 90s Dolphin.
90s seal friend movie. Andre. 1994.
All hail Andre.
That was a good one.
All hail Sky Daddy. All hail Andre.
Andre is adorable.
Yeah. So we could have like...
He wore sunglasses.
Yeah, so Andre is our god.
He definitely would have done finger guns.
And then we have Sky Daddy.
Oh.
We have maybe the gospel of Sky Daddy. Cute. We have the gospel of Xanax Mommy. And then we're just going to keep... Yeah, this actually isn't a podcast. This is an MLM to get you to join our cult. Our Andre the Magical Seal Fetus cult.
Oh, Andre.
Andre. Cute. Anyway.
Andre, you know?
The nail clacks. Yes.
That's what we got for you this week.
Weird.
Fucking weird.
So weird. It got weirder. Weird.
There was a moment that I was like researching this. I'm like, is this too stupid?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm like, have I gone off the rails?
Am I entertaining nonsense?
I absolutely am.
I liked it. I really honestly came full circle. I loved it. Yeah. I would like it to be true. I think it is not.
I do think it's truly just an urban legend.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun as hell.
So fun.
Yeah. I think whoever Mel was.
Was a cool dude.
Was a weird hippie who wanted to write a fucking magical story about a seal god. And good for you, girl.
He seemed like he was a believer, which I think is an important part.
Yeah, yeah. So. Just some acid that was still lodged in his brain.
Don't do it.
Did some shit to him, maybe.
Don't do it.
In Ellensburg, Washington.
What else is there to do out there?
We can go try to find the hole if you want. Mm. We live an hour and a half away from this location.
It's true.
Perhaps.
All right, well.
You know.
Noted. Maybe a little summertime
activity. That could be our Patreon. If we ever create a Patreon, it's just us videos of us looking for this fucking hole.
I'm like, are we just hiking?
It's how I plan to get you hiking. Exactly. You're like, bitch, this is just hiking. I hate you.
Thank you.
You know what?
Thanks so fun.
So much for enduring whatever the hell that was.
Okay, so this is episode 99.
This is episode 99.
And I'm sure you have something planned for 100.
I do. Something planned for 100. And yeah, it will be different from this, but I gotta say, not that far off.
Okay, cool.
You know?
Like it.
Yeah. You know, you gotta do.
Yes.
You gotta rate. You gotta review. You gotta subscribe.
Honestly.
Truly. 99 episodes in, why haven't you?
It's fucking rude.
Are you afraid of commitment? Talk about with your therapist.
Because you can subscribe and then you don't have to listen if you don't want to.
You just ignore us after that. Whatever. Like, it's rude, but.
It is.
Yeah. But yeah, keep coming back. Keep listening. We're going to still be here. And we will talk to you guys next week for episode 100.
100.
100. And until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
You laugh every time.
Andre. Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.